I love when she says that he's obsessed with her. Like, I love that she owns that. It's so good.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of the New Music We Love podcast. My name is James Gilmore, and every week I'm joined by a different guest to talk about the newest music that has been released this week. This is the only place you need to listen to get your fix on the newest music. Now, today is Friday the 23rd of August, which means it's the release day of Lover by Taylor Swift. And a little bit later on today's episode, I'm going to be joined by the girls from the Holy Swift podcast, Krista, Jessica and Kelly, to talk all things Lover. We're talking about our favourite songs, what the album means to us and so much more. So stay tuned for that. Today's episode is going to be formatted a little bit differently because one of the biggest albums of the year has come out today, so that deserves a lot of time. But it's not the only song that has come out today, so we're going to kick off today's episode with a round of our favourite game, 5 songs in 100 seconds, where we've got to review 5 songs in 100 seconds. I've got the timer here. Let's go. The 1975 has released their brand new single called People, which is like this almost heavy metal sound. I would say we're surprised, but Matty and the 1975 have taught us over the past few years to never be surprised, because everything they released is going to be super unique and different and pushing the barrier. It seems like a really heartfelt song, delivered in a screamo kind of way. Really interesting song though, and worth a listen. 5 Seconds of Summer also have a new single out called Teeth. It's their first new single in a while, and personally I'm a really big fan. This new era for 5 Seconds of Summer is doing them amazing things. They're back on fantastic form, even if they do now have American accents. Muramasa has a brand new track, first track from him in ages, featuring the very exciting up-and-coming vocalist Claro, whose new album came out a couple of weeks ago. It's called I Don't Think I Can Do This Again, and it's one of those songs that by the end of this year critics are going to have in their top 100 best tracks of the year. Youngblood, the rocker who is shining a light in rock music at the moment, brand new track Die a Little, which is featured on the 13 Reasons Why soundtrack, season 3 soundtrack, which came out today. As with everything Youngblood releases, it's a bit angsty, he's a bit angry, but it's a fantastic track and worth a listen. And Lana Del Rey released a brand new track, F It, I Love You, from her brand new album, Norman Effing Rockwell, which is coming out in the next few weeks, I believe. Another fantastic track. Her vocals, as always, are glistening. There we go. We actually did it this week. We did better than when James Smith and I attempted it. 5 tracks in 100 seconds. But now it's time to talk about the album that the whole world is focusing on today. Here's what happened when I sat down with Krista, Kelly and Jessica from the Holy Swift podcast to talk all things Lover. So I'm joined by the girls from the Holy Swift podcast to talk about the biggest album that's been released today. So Krista, Jessica and Kelly, how are you?
Good. Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. We're doing this over FaceTime because you girls are in America. Thank you so much for waking up so early to talk to me about this.
Yes, of course.
Obviously, Lover has come out today and it's one of the most highly anticipated albums of the year. We've all listened to the album, I think, once all the way through. What do you guys think of the album as a whole?
To be honest, I don't want to speak too soon, but this might be my new favorite album of hers.
This is Kelly. I can share my thoughts. I just think it's such a good album from start to finish, like listening to song 1 through song 18, which is amazing. We have so many songs to this album, but they all seem to go really well together. And I just really like the story that she's telling with this album. So far, so good. I'm really excited to keep listening to it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really rare that I listen to her albums once and immediately love it. But this one I really love already. It feels very, like she said a lot in 1989, like very sonically cohesive. Like everything goes together. It's so good. I'm so happy with it.
Amazing. Well, it does a lot of, like, there's a lot of lyrical references and, like, sonic references to her older albums as well.
Yeah.
Shall we go in a circle then? Okay. We'll each bring in to the circle one track from the album to discuss.
Ooh, I like that.
Jessica, okay. You're up first.
I'll first? Oh my gosh. Okay, so I feel like the one that jumped out to me first was Cornelia Street. I thought that one was going to be a favorite because, you know, it was totally self-written, which we knew before the album came out. And it's just, I don't think she's done a lot of songs before about, you know, it sounds like it's about being in love and then wondering what it would be like if it ended and being already sad about that, thinking about that. And it's just like a 5-minute, like, kind of fun ballad. And it's just, the lyrics are so good. I used to live in New York, so it kind of like takes me back there a little bit. I really, really love that song.
There's a lot of debate on this song. I was looking on Twitter about whether, because there's a Cornelia Street in New York and a Cornelia Street in London. And which Cornelia Street she's singing about. And I don't think anybody's like come to any conclusion yet about which one it is about. But you're right, like there's a big, obviously the whole album, as she says at the very end of the last song, Daylight, is all about like being, defining who you are based on what you love.
And yeah,
the voice note at the end, and I think you're like Cornelia Street takes a different angle on it of, as you said,
yeah,
what is like after love, but in like a heartbreaking, depressing way.
I thought this song was such a smart way for, it was such a smart nod to her fans who love her sad songs, because on an album full of, you know, love songs and happiness, she found a way to have a sad song, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Krista, your turn. Which song do you want to put into the circle?
Ooh, I think I'm going to pick The Man.
Okay, this is an interesting one because it's something that she's spoken out a lot about, but has she ever spoken about this topic in a song before?
I don't think so. If she has, it definitely wasn't this blatantly and explicit. I was really excited to hear this song because I think in some interviews she talked about this song and why she wrote it and what it was going to be about. So I was already very excited and it definitely lived up to the hype. And because I mean, it's true. Like if she, you know, were viewed through the lens of being a man, I think everybody would perceive her very differently, which is so interesting to think about.
For our listeners, you've not heard the song yet. That's what the song's about. She basically makes a lot of comparisons to things she's been shamed for before, that if she was a guy, wouldn't have been the case. There's one pre-chorus when they said, and they would toast to me, let the players play, I'd be like Leo in Saint-Tropez, which obviously when he was walking along the beach and everybody called, like said he was a dad bod and celebrated him for that, versus for her that wouldn't be the case. I think it's a really interesting one as well, because whilst I was listening to this song I was thinking, like, Taylor, like, you are kind of the biggest thing. I can't imagine what Taylor Swift being any bigger looks like, if you know what I mean.
Right, no, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's almost like she wouldn't be bigger, it would just be different, like a different type of bigness, if that makes sense. it's very interesting to think about.
Yeah, and then Kelly.
Okay, are you guys going to take the one I wanted to talk about, which is I Forgot That You Existed?
Yes.
The opening track.
Love the beat of this one. It's like, it's kind of like sassy in the fact that she's kind of saying to this person like, oh, whatever, I completely forgot about you, but it's still like fun and playful. I just really, really like the beat of this one. To me, I don't officially know what it's about, but I interpret it as when you like break up with someone and at first like all you can do is think about them and you feel like you're never gonna be able to wake up and not think about them, and then one day you wake up and you're like, oh, I didn't think about them all day. So that was kind of a cool song.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting one to open the album with as well.
Yeah,
because it was like pretty much one of the most straight pop songs that she's got on the album. And what was interesting to me actually about the whole album is like how there's so many like different types of songs on it. If that they all fit together in this one picture really well, but it just has a lot of like different sounds, more than like Reputation, I feel like, where there are a lot of like similar tracks on it, all fantastic in their own right, but throughout these 18 tracks there's a lot of change between in the actual music sonically.
Yeah, for sure. This one felt almost a little Motown to me.
Yeah.
Like, it has like a little like Motown bop to it, which I really like.
Yeah So my song to put into the circle might be an obvious one, but it was London Boy, because I feel like her references were so spot on. So this is obviously, for our listeners who don't know, Taylor Swift has been spending a lot of time in London with her lover Joe recently, and there's just all of these references, like enjoy walking Camden Market in the afternoon, it took me back to Highgate, met all of his mates, like just like she's obviously she there's no way she could have faked spending this much time in London, because the words, the way she says them, it's so spot on. Now I love high tea stories from uni and the West End. You can find me in a pub. We are watching rugby and his school friends. Like, everything is so spot on that I can't wait for when she performs this song in London. I just feel like the reaction will be big.
I'm really sad that I can't understand all those references.
There's a lot more, like uni is university, that's which is like college for you guys in America.
Right.
You can find me in a pub is like a bar. Obviously the West End is like the West End in London is like Times Square in New York. It's like the center where all the theaters are and all the nightlife. I enjoy nights in Brixton is just like an area of London, and Shoreditch is another like upcoming area in London. There's like Highgate, I think, is where Joe lives. It's a suburban part of London. All these like just cool things. It doesn't have to be Louis V up in Bond Street. That's obviously Louis Vuitton, and they've got a massive store on Bond Street. It's all of these things that are just like so perfect.
Yeah.
Shall we go around one more time?
Ooh, and do one more song? Okay. I really like I Think He Knows.
Yeah.
That one I feel like it's so catchy. The lyrics are so good. I love when she says that he's obsessed with her. Like, I love that she owns that. It's so good. This album is blowing me away.
What I like about it as well is this is probably the most positive and like happy and joyous Taylor Swift album. But this is like, for Taylor Swift, a character who presents herself as so strong and like definite and every move is considered, this is a bit of she's not sure, she's a bit nervous, which is a side we never really see of her.
Sure. And I think it's funny because like obviously Joe knew, or whoever this is about, if all these songs are about her lover, obviously her lover knows that she's into him. I feel like if you're Taylor Swift, it's probably pretty hard to hide that, because we know she's very into like romance and fairy tales and all of those things from her previous albums.
Yeah. Okay, moving back to Krista.
Okay. Not to bring the party down, but I think I'm going to go with Soon You'll Get Better.
Oh, this is a sad one.
It's
very sad, but it's very good. And I just was very impressed with how she handled such a vulnerable personal subject. I just think it was really well done, and I like almost cried listening to it. It was so good and sweet and sad. And then, you know, gotta love Dixie Chick sound on it.
A couple things from my point on this. It is the saddest song on the album, and people think it's about her mum who's had some health complications. But when I listened to it, there were all of these rumors about a Dixie Chicks collaboration. And I obviously nobody knew what that would look like, but I really feel like she's used them in the harmonies, in the choruses. Just it's really angelic, this song.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Kelly.
Oh, this is hard. I mean, are we allowed to talk about the song she's already released? Like,
yeah.
We have to talk about Lover and how the music video is so good. That one's good, but I think I really, really like Afterglow. And I'm curious to, like, read more into that one. It sounds like she might have done something to hurt Joe, and she, like, feels really bad and guilty about it. So I'm really curious to, like, I mean, obviously we'll never know, but I'm sure I can spend all my time thinking about it. But I really really pretty.
Well, my final one that I'm gonna pick is, I'm gonna talk about me for a second, because actually listening to the whole album, it's, in my opinion, it's a fantastic song, but like Cruel Summer, and there's some other like big pop songs which I was like, these would have been amazing singles to go into this album with. So I'm interested in her choice of decision there. But one of the big things people have pointed out is that she removed a line from this song on the album. The bit where she goes, hey kids, spelling is fun. She's removed that on the album version of the track. And it just goes into, girl, there ain't no I in team, but you know, there is a me. It goes into that line. And when I read that on Twitter, I didn't believe it. And then I listened to the song and they removed an entire line from the song because it got backlash, which was just an interesting thing because it felt so random when I first heard that.
Right.
Yeah, I saw that too yesterday on Twitter, people saying that. I find it so interesting because I feel like she's never done anything like that before, at least to my knowledge. Yeah. Because, I mean, I feel like, you know, she's Taylor Swift. A lot of things she's done or put out has gotten a little backlash. But I've never known her to just completely remove something based on backlash. So I would love to know like the thinking behind that.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, guys, thank you so much for talking to me. Where can people listen to your podcast and give them all the information?
You can listen to all of our episodes at holyswiftpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter at holyswiftpod. We're also on Instagram at holyswiftpodcast.
Amazing. Guys, thank you so much for talking.
Thank you.
There we go. Thank you so much. And you can listen to the Holy Swift podcast to get all your necessary fix on Taylor Swift music and gossip on all your favorite podcast platforms now. That's Holy Swift. Thank you so much, girls. And that is it from us this week. Wow, it has been a very big week for new music. August this year has not disappointed. The month that's usually slow and dry on new music has not stopped delivering. We'll be back with a brand new episode of New Music We Love next week with a very exciting special guest. So keep your eyes peeled on the New Music We Love social media and newmusicwelove.com for all of the latest episodes. Keep listening to new music, and we'll see you back here next week.